All right, welcome to reallibertymedia.com. We're back on reallibertymedia.com. That's RLM radio.xyz. Today we continue the Bundyville podcast series by Oregon Public Broadcasting, Long Reads, Leah Sotilli, and Ryan J. Haas. Part of the crew in on this here seven-part series, plus the one of the introduction. And today we are Bundyville the Bomb, Cussing Mad. This is Long Reads Review Part 2. And we're going to be looking at change in wind direction, or change in the wind. So, Grimner, I appreciate you bringing me to air. And you had a question for me about what it is I'm talking about here. Well, won't you ask me that question?
Well, not so much a question of what it is you're talking about, but how long will you be talking about it?
Forever, probably.
That's a matter of time. We're looking at stuff.
That's a long time, isn't it? Yeah. So, what's going on here? I mean, the trials are over. They just sentenced the last guy, the last snitch, I should say, Blaine Cooper. Time served up there in Oregon. The last guy to get a sentence from the Oregon standoff. He turned snitch, or informant. He testified against others to save his own bacon. So, you know, I've talked in the past. This all runs together. We're talking about FBI informants. There's different types. N.B. Lauder. Some say she goes by Goblin Seaman on the Twitter. I don't know that that's her for sure, but it looks like her. Now, she claims to be a Latter-day Saint. And cusses like a sailor. So I really wonder, you know, what how sincere her faith is. I've met a lot of Mormons. My grandma, she converted, matter of fact, way back when. I lived out near Bunkerville. Met my first love just south of there back when I was 19. And worked in Mesquite. I played football against those guys eighth grade when I went to school out there. So, you know, I'm not just somebody that's come along on this. I was in Vegas. It's been my second home since 1969. Back and forth my whole life. And so I happened to be there in Vegas when I heard about this going on up there. And that was Pete Santilli's video that went viral where they were assaulting Dave Bundy and Margaret Houston, Taste Ammon Bundy. So I get out there on the 11th of April of 2014 and spent the day and up all night, met some great folks like Jason Patrick and many, many, many others. There's a lot to this. There's a big convolution in my opinion, and there's a big attack. Now, I'll be talking about that. This, 19, I got it up here in my notes here. I'll come to it, but this, propaganda machine, and where's it coming from? Where's this pushback coming back? So your vision, that's how you see the world, right? Perspectives. And for me, sometimes I've been accused of pulling words out of my hat or having a spaghetti bowl. Well, that's okay. It's true. So failure in the world today, it seems to be more and more prevalent. Matter of fact, I saw in the news here that the IQ scores are dropping worldwide. And so it makes it a little bit easier in the life of Ryland. I'm not like you. And to bring that forward and to ridicule people. So I have this this group of folks over here on Twitter. Some of them I enjoy, and other ones are just, you know, they ramble on with the big BS. So, anyways, we're going to throw some of this stuff up against the wall and move forward, and let's see what sticks. And we can compare that to a cell phone GPS or a compass. And so that's like being told or go bold. And I hope to do that. So, Bundyville the Bomb, Cussing Mad, Long Reach Review Part 2. And a change in wind, in the wind direction. But don't worry, there's no danger. It'll be just fine. Don't worry about the children. And That's from a government broadcast back in the 50s after they were dropping bombs. That they're north of Angus, about 65 miles. Leah talks about this in her podcast. So I do encourage you all to listen to her podcast and sort through it. Now, if you're seeking confirmation bias, you're going to be all on board with her. But if you have a truly open mind, you'll be able to see through this panorama of BS. So she says she calls rural ignorance. Well, she was very curious when she found out what was going on. Was it this libertarian macho bullshit? And talking about government paranoia or being paranoid of the government. She says that Clive and Bundy worried that the government was out to get her, or get him, that is. And there was a tense standoff. Now, she says, talking about grievances and this reoccurring theme of paranoia plays throughout. Well, look at the definition of paranoia. So this is what she's trying to push forward, is Cliven is paranoid that the government is out to get him and others. So from Bunkerville to Burns, we see what's the manner or the matter of it at heart here. Grazing fees and protest, managed out of business. She tries to think that it's only about these fees. Melissa Louder, you know, she jumps on board. I really have a hard time understanding her. Personally, I feel like, you know, back to the FBI informants. There's different kinds. Now, when I was up there in Denver at Bruce Doucette's trial, you see the informants came to testify. Where there was one class of them that was, you know, forced and coerced out of fear. I also saw the ones that they planted in there, FBI agents. The one that they called DJ and this other one, Act. He was retired. He was definitely a spook. This guy, I think he gets his kick because he did this for free. He went in undercover and infiltrated these what they're calling sovereign citizen movement, which is an oxymoron. Not too many people that believe in their sovereignty, whatever name you want to call it. Anarchy is what I like to call it. No rulers. That is not to say that there are no rules. Rules exist, and you know, there's a need for to get people that break rules that cause harm to property or person. So these people that are planted by the FBI, Brian English, he was the FBI agent in charge there in the Bruce Doucette case and those others. Now, these guys are looking at the rest of their life in prison because they made bad moves. They put their name to pay for filed liens, which were called spurious. And you know, they're probably going to be forgotten in prison. I'm not going to forget them. Bruce and Kim, his wife, that took Brandon and myself into her home for a week while we stayed up there the second week of the trial. Not going to be forgotten from me. I don't have to agree with methods to agree that the man is a good person, that he was seeking justice. And instead of going in there, I asked Ryan English. I said, you know, did you go to try to talk to these people? And he was interested in engaging me in conversation, probably because he figured I wanted to talk, just like he said about Bruce Doucette, and let him talk. But I think he wanted to talk also. So I used some of his techniques against him to get him to talk. And the prosecutor up there, Robert Shapiro, I like to call him Robert Schiff, the Robert Schiff. Just take a look at the names involved there. They were the judge was called, his name is the Robert Schiff, Robert Shapiro. No, not the one on the O.J. Simpson, but there is more than two lawyers by that name.
Vinny, you might want to watch your position because you're breaking up a bit.
Okay, I was walking. Rock it, baby. So we have then Byrne and Wart. We got a Wart Byrne. So Ms. Wart, she was on the prosecution, and Byrne, he was a U.S. Marshal appointed from the Sheriff's Department in Denver. I really, really saw the evil there in that case. Judge Beer, he looks like this really timid, kind man. And when Bruce Doucette wanted to read his oath, he just the mask came off. Robert Shapiro, he's evil, and there is no doubt that he is using his position of power for intimidation. He's done this against Kim Doucette, threatening her. He threatened me up there, and if you guys remember, I told you about that when I took their picture, and they hid their shameless faces, and Shapiro walking off with a threatening comment that he's harassing us. You know, I could carry, 20 years? I don't know. Quite a bit. So I went to a police captain there and reported that to him, and got a picture of him just so, you know, if I need a witness, which he'd probably say I forgot. You know, this blue line, you know, it's it gets blurred, especially if you're wearing blue, I think. There's some sort of adhering to some code that allows for criminality on the government side, and it's prevalent. We see it. Now, as I say, and I asked Ryan English, you know, did you try to talk to him? Shouldn't we be trying to prevent crime if you're in the law enforcement instead of facilitating? Now, this guy, DJ, he was a FBI agent. He's some redneck from Mississippi, I believe, that they recruited him out of. Looks like a Neanderthal. He went in there, and in his testimony from a recording, he says, come on, let's go kidnap this judge. You know, he's trying to create crime. So how does government continue with this? They, in Oregon, they put the informants in place. There were probably more informants than there was participants in the occupation. FBI informant, you are an FBI informant. I am an FBI informant. We all are, matter of fact. We our words, I say, guard your words, you know, because they're going to be taken and maybe even taken out of context. So where am I here? So Clyde worried that the government was out to get him, right? Well, Leah says he's paranoid. Well, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean somebody's not out to get you. And let's see here. So Leah goes on. Let's get back into Bundyville, the bomb, and cussing Matt. So Clive just they held him in jail for 700 days, and he was damn mad about it. And then Leah goes on with her cussing and just trying to lead people off in this general direction of if you support the, you know, this anti-corrupt government pushback, then you're a nutter. Well, at the Nevada test site, there were lots of nukes, and there was drift over to the Arizona Strip. That was back in the 50s. She goes on to say that it's a tight-knit rural life on the land, and the fallout from Dirty Harry. And we can use that for the bomb and for Harry Reid, very heavily involved on this. So Leo says that there, Clyden holds extreme beliefs. And I would counter and say that these used to be the norm in America. We look at all the bombs there. The first, of course, Bikini Island, that test, but so they dropped a couple on Japan, 20,000 tons of TNT on Hiroshima, and it is in saying, this is from Harry Truman, they said, we did it, and we destroyed Japan's usefulness. What usefulness was Hiroshima and not, they were not industrial nor military sites. Civilian and a huge, mainly a Christian population. Keep setting up the world for conflict, you know, and eliminate some of those threats and just build extremism. We have the war machine and the industrial complex, the military industrial complex, the financial industrial complex here in America. So Dirty Harry gets dropped without warning. the drift comes and we see hair loss and fingernails falling off and cancer. So this is something that nobody can repair. And Clive and Bundy was there. He was a youngster during this government experiment gone wrong. She goes on to say that Bundy took up arms against the government. Did they? I was riding with Clive and here earlier this year. We rode around for the day, and Andrew Cullen, he's a photographer for High Country News, and Tay Wiles, taking pictures, and he actually inserted himself into the conversation a lot, whereas he says, you know, he's just there to take pictures, but he says all these people quit pointing guns. What? Who? Who was pointing guns at the government? The government was pointing guns at the people. I was there under the bridge right below Eric Parker, and hearing these guys, Dan Love and his group of thugs, you know, telling people they're going to shoot. Well, the day before, Sheriff Gillespie says that they were at a stand down. My testimony as witness 303 in the case there in Las Vegas for the Bundys was about Ammon Bundy and Jason Patrick and myself in a conversation about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And Leo will go on to say that people there were there to cause violence, and that's what the Bundys wanted. Now, Ammon and Jason and I were talking, and we realized how, of course, they send in provocateurs, and that's what I expected, and so did they. They were going to send somebody in to provoke violence, and I think if so many people hadn't showed up, and that's probably what would have happened. I think there were just too many people there for them to pull off a false flag and kill the Bundys, and the Bundys definitely would be dead, and this would be over with, and mainly forgotten, had not so many Americans showed up. There were hundreds that day on April the 12th, and thousands over the weeks that came and went, and for a very good reason, I'd say. You know, there's tens to hundreds of thousands, I'd say, over the years now that you know, are following and been involved with this or watching it. So really, did the Bundys take up arms? What was the importance? Why did I go there? It was because the importance of our First Amendment and Second Amendment. Now, Judge Gloria Navarro says that the two can't coincide. And if you're packing a gun on your hip, on your shoulder, you're brandishing arms, and that's illegal too, and you'd cause fear and intimidation of law enforcement. So care for the land and environmental protection. It's a birthright of every American. This is what Nixon said in 1976. Was it Carter? I forgot. I think it was Nixon. The FLPMA. FLPMA is the letters for that, the acronym. So this was the last nail in the coffin, really. That we see this moving forward. Anytime you have a war, like a war on drugs, war on poverty, war against, you know, the environmental harms. They really take it off in another direction, and it really ends up being the opposite of what's intended. So the BLM, they get their power in about 1976, and they're supposed to be the ones to come in and smooth it over. So Leah goes on to talk about the Sagebrush Rebellion and the conflict between ruralites and city dwellers, and about public lands. So Ronald Reagan comes along in the 80s, and he's favorable to these rural ranchers and people out west. And the land that's being now confiscated, roads shut down. And one part of the podcast, this is from a tweet, shutting down roads in California, off roads. And this woman was shot out there, right? They're out there chasing them down because, hey, they're not on some approved road, but the people said they didn't see any sign. Run them down and shoot them. For what? What harm are you going to do driving a four-wheel drive out in the desert? And if you don't know what the desert is, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of miles of the same old stuff. Now, there's niches there. There's certainly sensitive environmental places there that, you know, you don't have to shut off thousands of acres. If there is something, maybe might require, you know, fencing off some petroglyphs, because the world's full of idiots. You know, we got people that are self-serving and, you know, do whatever, and others have a sense of responsibility. And I think we, no matter what side of this issue you're on, we might have a consensus on this. And that's a bad word there, Hal Anthony, behind the Woodshed Sundays here at Real Liberty Media. Noon on the left coast out there on the Pacific, Hal Anthony with the notice in the news. So from Ronald Reagan, then Leah brings the word paranoia again about Cliven and moves into Randy Weaver and a sawed-off shotgun. That was another setup. Now they wanted Randy Weaver to testify against people that, I guess there's a stronghold of white supremacists or whatever. No, that's just another name they want to tag on people to vilify them. Certainly there are white supremacists that are villains, absolutely. But what we're looking at is complete control of the government, and that is a comply or die scenario. Talking about the Branch Davidians then, not like you. Talking about family and religious freedom and calling them cults. What do we talk about cults? So says that the Branch Davidians killed some agents. One of them's actually from Tennessee out there by Bristol, where I was at last year in my travels of a year and a half on the road. And hopefully looking to be going back out for a little while before I really come and sit down for a while. Who killed these agents? There's been a lot of information on all of this. Some that got killed were Bill Clinton's bodyguards. And I think if you don't know about the Clintons, they've got a very high body count. I guess none of it can be proved, but hey, they're good criminals. There's no telling how many hundred people that probably are dead at their direction. So who did kill the agents? I think the shots came from inside, and they started shooting back at each other. You know, that stuff happens. We're in this deep state, right? That's big in the news now. We already know about the CIA and their spooks, and you know how they they fill their black ops with drugs, guns and oil. That's God. God is guns, oil, and drugs. And that's why they gotta keep them illegal. Now, the cannabis, it's kind of got out way too far for them to keep denying its usefulness. Narcotic. What we have? Tanks and tear gas and 82 dead. Extreme right-wing beliefs. I call flat foul. What Cliven Bundy saw was states' rights and that pushing the boundaries and taking small actions, she says. She says that Cliven was emboldened. Leah says that $2,000 check was sent in, but it was actually $6,000 out of the $8,000 that's owed. They keep pushing this narrative that there was $1 million grazing fee. Again, another lie. She calls it the easy boogeyman. The government is in defending your rights against the federal government. She says that they had to defend themselves against government. She calls them as wearing cowboy hats and big belt buckles, sarcastically, and moves on into talking about Carver hating hates that the feds claim land. This goes back into the mid-90s. So Carver was a commissioner, I believe, in nine counties. She's talking about him. Smoky Valley, Nevada. So he gets out and he bulldozes open a road that was closed, and he goes through a stream and pushes some aspens down, going around the this erected blockage of the road by the BLM. And goes through a stream of endangered trout. So he probably killed 10,000 trouts just rolling through with a bulldozer, right? That's what she would assume is to believe, I guess. So he's relating these attacks on government offices in Reno and Carson City during the mid-90s. And I guess they never really caught who was doing it. And she calls Carver this old man pushing back against laws he doesn't believe in, and then goes on to say that that Clive and Bundy was emboldened and idolized. he liked this guy a lot. So, bring back the land and the people. This is throughout the 90s, and government ranch standoff by defense is not something just happened recently. It's been building up for decades. And why? So in 1994, Ryan Cliven's oldest son, he was chased through Zion for not paying interest fee into that park. The government dismissed charges. They chased him. They threw out a spike strip and tried to bring him to a stop, and he ran around it. He'd finally come up to a roadblock and stop. So, this fight's been going on for a long time. You come along with new laws and try to push people out of their place and their livelihood. What do you expect? Is there a compromise in the environmentalism and cattle? Well, if we really look at where this comes from, this Endangered Species Act back from 1976, and then we come along about 1993 or 92, where the tortoise was put on this list. And that they say that the cattle harmed the tortoise. This is a very, very, very big loss. And all other wildlife, their lives are enhanced by cattle on the land and the rancher out in the desert. Otherwise, what do you got? Doodle bugs and... Well, you won't have any doodle bugs without any cows to roll poop, hardly, but grasshoppers and lizards. I mean, you got these tanks of water where the streams are, the springs are caught up in the mountains and they're piped down into tanks and throughout places that normally, would support it, much life beyond those bugs and lizards. So the rancher is, in fact, enhancing the land. Let's see. JJ McNabb. Now she's got me blocked on Twitter. I gave her a ration of crap, and just like most of these patties, if y'all remember, they call us poots, and I took that name and made it a good name and called them patties, and not the good kind of patties like peppermint patties or beef patties or not even a cow patty. But these people that they position. Positioned attempt to terminate individual entity sovereignty, our rights and preemptive rights, who we are as America. So for this, let's see. Yeah, she goes on to say that because of this, it was. Sorry, back up. Now they didn't prosecute Ryan Bundy and JJ McNabb. Goes on to say that it was not a good time for this just after Waco, and she says that Clive becomes emboldened. We remember Waco and Ruby Ridge, and she talks about the Patriots and rules of engagement, and that Clive took advantage, the Bundys took advantage of breaking laws without consequence. Is a bad law a good thing? I mean, just because you make something, if you codify it, that's what happened up in Denver. They codified common law. So experts say bogus, that Cliven's claim that feds can't own, that that's not true. She goes on to talk about the religious conditions. And back to 100 years earlier in the Latter-day Saint religion and Joseph Smith, right before he was killed, and talking about the White Horse prophecy. So episode 3 next week, we'll be covering that, the prophecy of Bundyville podcast. And she talks about that this coming battle for the Constitution is where the Bundys stand. Now, is religion a bad thing or a good thing? You know, and you got to wonder. If you know, if you're saying kill people, that's what your religion says. That's not a good thing. But if it says fight for the right, if your religion says fight for right, Melissa Lauder wanted to call me some type of fake Christian. So, you know, I can play dirty with words too, and I called her a Jack Mormon. So whatever. I told her that you'd be better off trying to use the definition of Muslim when talking about me. Anyway, so this paranoia, what is paranoia? It's an unrealistic distrust of others or a feeling of being persecuted. Extreme degrees may be a sign of mental illness. So this is what she's pushing in this podcast, the second in a series, that you know, all of these people are crazy. God, we got to think of 1984 and Brave New World. It's a future dystopia, and we're moving incrementally in that direction. Kerry Wilson, formerly Kerry Roberts of Countering the Rhetoric, a new feed. 2.5 years later, hashtag Oregon Standoff is still on Twitter. What matters worldwide? Well, LaVoy told me it matters how you stand, and LaVoy was killed up there, and like I said, this FBI agent is going to be coming to trial July 24th, and I think it's very important that we keep countering the actual rhetoric. So we have logic, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. People go straight into rhetoric and then try to back up build their case there, which, you know, you start with a fallacy. And that's what I get mostly from these, I don't call them trolls anymore. Remember, patties, not the good kind of patty again, over there on Twitter, calling for people to quit listening to me, block them. One guy muted me and it's just, close your little eyes, you know, it'll be all right. Tender little babies. If you can't see it, if you can't hear it, it ain't going to hurt you. Well, what did I do? Now, some of my kind of got a little more respect for than others. Shire Reeve or Scurvy Dog or the Sheriff, as I call him. He's got a little bit kinder in talking to me, but still his posts are all about, you know, smearing and name-calling and slinging this and that out there. Just pure logical fallacies from red herrings and ad hominem. If you call somebody a crazy and all that, and this is what these people are getting on board with. So yeah, I think the IQ of Americans is definitely dropping. You know, people call me stupid. Well, I'm not a deep, I'm far above average on the IQ, and it's probably a lot less than what it was when I had it checked. About 25 years ago, 126. Now, I've had a lot of knocks to the head since then. So it's probably not quite near as high. And thank God I've got a bowl of spaghetti to work with here and plenty of words in my hat. Just pull them out sometimes and see what I get. Now, let's just move on. We've got all this other stuff that comes to convolution. And here we go. On the roads less traveled, there's always a bigger word of. I'm talking about Rhodes, Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers. He showed up to endorse Prepper Louie out there in Arizona, down in Tucson, where this business is going on. Supposedly they got rape trees and this and that down there and child trafficking. What kind of idiot? Now, I know Louie from Bunkerville in 2014. He's a provocateur. He, when I was going into Vegas, for a day or two to go in and post up videos and whatnot. Mad Mardigan, and he's a little anonymous kid. He showed up out there. And so, you know, person with not much, I let him stay there next to me in my camp. Well, we smoked weed out there. We went on Dundee Ranch property, and weed ain't drugs anyway. Get back to that in just a second. But, so I'm going. Prepper Louie comes up there, and, well, like I said, while I was there, the three of us smoked weed together. Then he comes back accusing Marty of doing drugs, I suppose meth. Now, Louie, he acts like somebody on meth. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Crazy Louie. Screwy Louie, that's what they call him. So he body slams little Marty. He's a bully and a provocateur. And if y'all are following along with this, he's got several names, Louis Prepper, Louis Arthur, and Michael Myers is, I guess, is his real name. And he probably was ashamed of the other guy, didn't want to be associated with that. Maybe he decided to change his name. He was also there in the background, lurking, watching Pete Santilli. The day that big press turnout happened there in 2014 after the supposed racial slurs by Clive and Bundy, talking about, let me tell you what I know about the Negro. Taken really out of context. Clive, he contemplated. He says, I wonder if the Negro was better off as a slave. Now, that's not saying that, hey, black people ought to be slaves, but he was comparing the current system of welfare. The men are in prison, the women are pregnant, and you know, looking back and saying the days of slavery, well, I don't think that you could call them better off. That as far as family, you know, their family is tight. It's pretty convoluted, but everybody's a little prejudiced to some degree or another, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a racist. We get into back to this mainstream media push from now. Maxine Bernstein's done a lot better job ever since Callie Stewart jumped her ass right there in Oregon, taking a picture of her. I shared that before. And Maxine's eyes are all bugged out. I think her methodology of reporting started to change about that. She became less and less biased in her reporting. And obviously, you know, an agenda to the left and this extreme environmentalism. But it's being used against us. And people, you know, this religion, this cult of environmentalism, it's been taught in school for a very long time now. You know, when I was a kid, he was already getting that. So even before the 70s, you know, you get back in time and you see step by step. Doesn't matter how long it takes, but there is a push for world domination. American empire is at the head, or at least being used at the head, and people are being deceived in all of this. So what we have is apple pie propaganda. In 1948, the Smith-Mundt Act was repealed, on July 2013. But anyways, it prohibited the federal government from domestically disseminating any government-produced programs intended for a foreign audience. And so that did all change when that ban was lifted in 2013. I put that up in a response to Cherry on a Trump video that he produced for Kim Jong-un and at their summit there. Purely propaganda. So it's okay to propagandize America. Now, how much of this stuff from High Country News, Tay Wiles and the others there, there's several you know, left leaning publications that you know, out to villainize the Bundy movement, those folks that have come and trying to classify this some type of religious mental disorder. Leah, you lied, says Kelly Stewart, at mouthpiece for the time. I didn't play any of these clips in her podcast instead of concentrating on some of the far extreme fringe that you know, had their ideals broadcast. Nutters. I'll come back to some more of the nutters. So why didn't Leah play any of these clips like... from the dashboard cams with police screaming, get the F down, you stupid MRF, or shoot now and ask questions later. Paranoid? Where are they really out to get them? You gotta wonder. Watchdogs? No. Lapdogs? Yes. Lapdogs of the government. Kelly says, I've got to tend to have some agreement. So Bundy Ranch is under fire. It is not over. Media moguls are on the move, and it hasn't changed at all. The attack continues, and what is fueling this resurgence to discredit and push back against the federal overreach? That many people showed up is a statement that something is very wrong in the current state of affairs, and many people felt the importance of a peaceful pushback. There were thousands over the weeks, several hundred that day, April the 12th of 2014. Thousands on that day, and the feds, the day the feds held their standoff. And then there's been tens upon tens of thousands, no telling how many hundreds of thousands that perhaps that have responded to social media and have come along and following this. And it's those people, like myself, that feel there's an importance that the First and Second Amendment need to be preserved. And if you have to go to the second, then you've gone too far. I mean, it's gone too far, and I think I have to agree with that. But still, nonetheless, I think that we need to be able to exhibit those rights and express them. So what do we got on the idea? We've got Club Fallacy, or the Insult Institute. Yay, the naysayers. And that's who I'm talking about. Y'all over there that want to play this game and not even use logic before you come into your rhetoric. Forget the grammar. Anyways, so next week is it's going to be the prophecy. And we brought Brand on here just about a month or so ago and let him talk about the White Horse prophecy. And is this some ideology that that Cliven is and the Bundys are looking to make this some type of religious deal, stemming back from the Sagebrush Rebellion? But is what's religion or religiosity of everybody? Is it common? All the folks that are taking part in this and see the need to resist this government overreach. Well, there's no commonality in religion. Some people are atheist, Mormon, different Christian sects, and so on. Some, I don't know that there'd be any Muslims involved or Buddhist, but I think somebody, I can't remember, called himself some Buddhist Christian. I forget who that guy was. Brand was telling me about him up in Oregon. So we are in a dangerous time, and what we're fighting is being convoluted and being co-opted. And I've got to think that regardless whether Tay Wiles and Leah Santilli and Maxine Bernstein and any number of other people that I could name off, are they like knowingly participating in some propaganda program by the government? No, I kind of doubt it. I think they really believe their religion of environmentalism. Like I said, it's been, being pounded in children's heads for quite some time in the school system. But does that make it true? No, it sure doesn't. And we go back again to what is propaganda, where it's being preached. And I think you'll find it mainstream, school, on the news. Now, for Free and Slaves, he's talking about the original 13th Amendment. And this was rejected in Denver by Judge Speer in the Bruce Doucette case. And I ask you to go see William Wagner, the video I did with Jamie Landon. I don't think I brought that over. Yeah, maybe I did bring that over here to Real Liberty Media YouTube channel. If not, one of these days when I finally get set down and have my computer and all that stuff to work with, start bringing a lot of the stuff back to the front and breaking that down. So the 13th Amendment was Judge Speer, he denied it even existed. Now, in that video, I've got the images of, I think, about three books that William Wagner purchased that show the original 13th Amendment. Captain Carl would talk to you about the 10th Amendment. So there's a lot to get through on this, a lot. So we've got five more episodes on Lea Santilli to review. Long reads, but I'll put together some stuff. This won't be a long blog in the at the Ponder Gander page here at Real Liberty Media. So you're hearing this on YouTube right now. If you're listening live, Grimner's got it live streaming there. We'll bring it back over by tomorrow. I'll bring this for Grimner. Thank you so much for all your help, and we'll make this a short blog. The main content is here in the audio. A lot more to go. A lot, and it ain't over. It's far from over. There is some type of big plan coming. When's it going to happen? I knew they weren't going to do another hard roundup in the spring because that was so exposed as being evil that it is. What we're going to see probably is this fall. And if maybe not this year, maybe not. They're going to come for Cliven again. They're going to come for the cattle. They're still calling them trespass. Now, when Cliven got out of jail, when the charges were dismissed with prejudice on January the 8th, 2 days later, Bell met up at the Sheriff's Department in Las Vegas. He gave a speech, statement, and asked for questions from media. Hands went up. Ken Ritter from the AP? He tries to come with the first question. I just stepped right out in front and shut them all down. I said, I believe I'll take this. We all know the media lies. Mainstream's a bunch of liars. They cut stuff out. I warned Channel 8 that they better not cut any of this one like they did to Carol Bundy before, trying to take her words out of context. They took me serious and, excuse me, and put up all their whole 45 minutes on that. Or if they take it down, I've got it recorded, so you won't be able to deny it. I've got it downloaded. Excuse me. Now, I stood up, I said, Cliven, this ain't over. What, we still got the cows there? We're right back to where we started. So, these last 4 years, you know, they persecuted the Bundys and those that stood with them. We still got people in jail. Todd Engel from the trials in Vegas, and Todd Burleson. Burleson, Greg Burleson, I'm sorry, and Todd Engel. Are they going to get out? We've got, my mind blanked there. What's going to happen with these guys? They're going to get out? That dismissed with prejudice, they didn't have the same information that was withheld. We're talking about Giglio violations and Brady violations. Talking about purity corruption from the prosecution. In Vegas at the Bundy Ranch trial, from prosecution to the BLM, the Forest Service, bunch of liars. We've got kill lists. We've got all sorts of things, recordings and destruction of evidence, lies and denial. Is it going to end? Well, they're still pushing for public opinion. So whether something happens this fall or not depends on how far they can push this public opinion forward, and getting people on board with let's go kill these religious crazies out here in the desert and kick their cows off the land. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's coming. And like I said, they're working it. Because black is white, good is bad, war is peace, and death is life. And that's what we'd have been told from Curon Suckling, Center for Biological Diversity, and others, that just really flip things upside down. It's a damn shame. So with that, I'll conclude. And Grimner's, anybody in chat have anything to say? Any questions? Or?
Well, Buster over there on the YouTube chat says you could do a couple of shows on Harry alone.
And Dirty Harry, which one? The bomb or Harry Reid?
Reid, I would imagine. Also, he says that IQ scores dropping worldwide are an agenda.
Yeah. Dumb them down. Dumb it down in America has been going on for a while. And it's just not an education system. It's it comes from fluoride and all types of food ingredients.
And Moose Girl would like to know, women being pregnant, what's wrong with that?
Well, is she barefoot?
Probably, actually.
Hey, Moose Girl. Glad you tuned in. And Buster, that's our very own Frumpy. And,
yeah.
The resident chatter here at Real Liberty Media. And tune in. You'll get some lively insight over there. Good conversation, generally. People are pretty serious over here at Real Liberty Media. Let me ask you, Grim, have we got anybody, new broadcasters coming on now that UCY is closing the doors?
I don't know what to deal with those people. I only got contacted by two different ones, and I sent them both emails back, and I don't know. Maybe they found some other place to go. I don't know. They didn't. They sent me emails. I contacted them back, and that was it. So, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, there's a lot of places you can broadcast, and
like Blog Talk Radio
or whatever on Spreaker.
But hey, why not come on board here with a real nice group of people? And you've been doing this for a long time, Grimner. Some call you a god. A god.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway. Next week's topic is what now?
The prophecy.
The prophecy.
Yeah, so you go from today, this paranoia, that's the message from Leah Satili in The Bomb, her second in the series of Bundyville podcasts. So what we're doing here, we're seeing where she's making these, extreme ideologies about those that, support the anti-corrupt government. She calls many times these people anti-government, but it's unfortunate that so many that were in the limelight were they were disconnected. They are, some of them have some extremities that are pronounced. Well, what pushed them to that? There's a lot to be said on that, and the one way I want to say I go back for an overall review the entirety after I go through the series over, and I'm not done before I've covered a wide range of topics. When did I start broadcasting over here? Like Flash and I. And by the way, did Flash ever talk to you? He's wanting to know about maybe me coming on with him on the dork.
Okay. Yeah, Flash is all set up.
Starting for a little bit till Grammy Mary comes back.
Yeah, Flash is all set up, Vinny. So if if you call in to him, he'll be able to broadcast you guys out.
All right. Well, Flash, then I'll be seeing you on the radio tomorrow. Noon, let's see, it'd be 11 o'clock on the eastern side of the country. So just count on me being there, and we're just
noon,
play it by ear.
Noon Eastern.
Noon Eastern, my bad. 11. 11 here where I'm at, in the middle of the country. I won't be late that way, since you told me. So we have coming up tonight, is Grammy to be on?
I do believe so.
That's it?
I do believe so.
Okay. Yeah, then we got we've got another Balls to the Walls tonight. If I stay awake long enough, I'll come over. Last couple of weeks, I've fallen asleep before the radio began. So hopefully I'll be up tonight and come along with that. And then tomorrow, the Dork Table at Eastern. And then we come along for Hal Anthony Sunday. And that's at noon on the East Coast, 3 hours later on the, well, it's the same time, but it's 3 p.m. on the East Coast. Two here for me in the Central Time Zone. And then a couple hours after that we've got the nearest road on the Stuart Roads, the roads less traveled.
Yeah, your phone's all breaking up now, so.
And there's. All right, let me lean forward again. I need a sweet spot. I thought I had it. So hopefully the broadcast came through pretty good.
And, yeah, most of it, yeah.
Good, good, good. So, any word on, let's see, the Freedoms Network over there? How's that looking? Any word on how the. Contributions are coming in.
I'll check the account page, and it's still showing the same date, which is 8 days from now. So still waiting.
It's too bad. That's alternative social media site for people.
Hey, you know, all the donations seem to come from one or two people. So, it can't maintain that way.
Most people want the free ride, and you know, there's plenty of free stuff out there, and plenty of data mining going on. So just feel free to keep it up. You can't tell nothing on me that I ain't told on myself already.
Right.
What time is it, Grimner?
11:56.
All right. So we ran an hour covering the 25-minute broadcast then from Leah Satilli and Long Reads and Oregon Public Broadcasting and Ryan J. Haas and all of their other little cronies that have been involved. So Ryan J. Haas, he says he appreciates the reviews, but none of them responded to me as yet. But at least they ain't blocked me. So words going out. You know, y'all can keep on your religious environmental extremism if you want to, or just admit that you know, you're paid writers for an agenda, and that's what we got. You can get what you get. Don't feel fit.
That's it.
All right, Graham, that's it. Thanks y'all for listening, and come along back for another podcast next Friday, noon, radio.com, radio.xyz.
Thanks, Vinny.